Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome, brains. At first glance, people tend to focus on our outward disabilities. I guess that's the only thing they can see. Or maybe it's ignorance. And ignorance only means not knowing. But believe and trust, we all have scars. Some are more visible than others. But what if we took a different reaction? What if we reached back, looked at it differently, took a second glance, actually seeing the possibilities, abilities, intentions and talents, the intelligence, the clarity, and the heart of another human being? Brains, you're going to walk down the pier of Coney Island with me and have a talk with our guest, Nate Amos, as we keep it 100. Today, I challenge all my brains to extend your bandwidth with our guest, who calls herself hideously gorgeous, but as I refer to her, talented and oh so beautiful. Please, brains, help me welcome to the edge, Nate Amos. How are you? ¿Qué onda?
Good morning. Well, it's early morning here in New York. Hello, brains. Hello, fellow brains.
Hey, so welcome to the edge. I'm so glad that you came to sit here and have a talk with us. We're virtually there with you in New York City on the pier, Coney Island. Is it cold?
It's very cold. It's very, very cold. But I have a big old coffee, so I'm all good. That's,
okay,
that's
brains,
what we do.
Put on your virtual jackets. All right. So I want you to talk to us a little bit about your story and who you are. Now, I've posted a lot of pictures on Facebook and Twitter, and they've actually given a physical look at you, but who are you deeper than that? You were born with a birth defect and some disabilities. Could you share that with our brains? Tell us who you are.
Yeah. Well, I was born with several birth defects. My particular condition is called amniotic band syndrome. And actually, it's kind of a weird, umbrella, archaic term, medical term that's no longer valid, but is still in use. It basically means, like, we don't know what we're going to call it, so we're just going to put it under this umbrella that seems to be fitting with what we think you have. I mean, it was the 80s. No one really knew anything in the 80s. I mean, you know, you look at medical technology today, and you're like, wow. I mean, in the 80s, you went, got an ultrasound, you saw a blob and heard a heartbeat, and you're good to go. Here, you know, we have 3D sonograms, right? And it was kind of an odd situation because, you know, my mother ran marathons. She never drank or smoked or did any kind of drugs. She was an avid runner. So, and she had kids before and after me, and I seem to be the only wild card, if you will. It was a very shocking thing for her to undergo. It was very shocking for my entire family to kind of, you know, wonder, like, what would happen? And the answer that we found was, you know, just the random aspects of genetics. You know,
can you share with our brains, you know, what sort of challenges that you have? What sort of disabilities do you have?
Well, I was born with club feet, meaning that my right foot isn't fully developed. So I have 1 foot bigger in length than width. So I kind of walk with a pimp walk, if you will. I have that.
Right, a stroll. You got a stroll, girl.
I got a strong pimp walk. You know, I've honed it my entire life. So I have 1 foot bigger and smaller and in width and in length. So it made very interesting to buy shoes for me. My older brother used to go to Nordstrom's, and he used to distract the shoe guy when I found a pair I liked, and he would distract them and I would switch the shoe size. Yeah, it was great. It was a little tag team effort. I also have the bones in my face were concave and not well developed. So they had to restructure that. My hands are severely limited. I have about what would constitute a palm, more or less, on my left, and my forefinger and a thumb. I don't know if you guys know this, but a thumb is not a finger. A finger can be a thumb, but a thumb is not a finger, and it's actually one of the... It's actually, I'm very happy to be born with a thumb, because a thumb is very useful. If I didn't have a thumb, I'd be screwed in a lot more, like, more than I already am, but...
Wow.
Yeah, so it's all... Medically, it's a very interesting case to read. I've been in several journals, a lot of craniofacial doctors, UCLA, UCSD, Children's Hospital. I was one of the first patients when they opened in San Diego. I was one of the first patients to grace the doors, if you will. I had doctors from New York. I had doctors from Seattle. I had a lot of doctors all over the world. Very
so
curious
about,
on
so
if I would survive.
You've had many, many surgeries to help try to make corrective cosmetic surgery changes on you?
Oh, well, most of the surgeries were not necessarily cosmetic. They were more functional, like how can we make it functional? How can we make the structure, like, seem appropriate for the bone structure that was there? Because, I mean, there was none. It was literally a cavity. And so
wow.
They had to work really hard to put those together.
Well, they did a fine job. Absolutely. They didn't have to work with your brain.
Yeah,
tell us
no,
a little bit about you.
That was surprising. They, you know, like I said, the technology wasn't really there. So they weren't sure, like, intellectually how I would develop or cope. You know, they told my mom that most likely I would have some kind of intellectual deficiency. They said that, you know, there's a good chance that I wouldn't live long at all, and that was mainly just due to infection.
They are so wrong about that. But what I do want to ask you is, how did this really impact you, you know, maybe growing up with peers and friends and, you know, bullying and teasing? How did you handle that?
Well, you know, I have had the very good fortune on having very strong, awesome male figures in my life, my brothers, my godfather, my dad, my uncles. They all, you know, influenced me in various ways. My Uncle Mike used to take me with him. I learned about sports through my Uncle Mike. And they encouraged me to have a sense of humor about it. So, you know, I was always, like, a little odd, and I used that oddness to kind of in my favor more often than not. But, of course, I mean, kids can be cruel, and I'm so glad I was born in the 80s, because I don't know how I would have survived growing up with, like, the mass social media that we have.
Right, because
no
you can really
way.
Think of- a tongue lashing, but you know, it's one thing to have others laugh at you, but when you can look in the mirror and laugh at yourself, that's huge. And
yeah.
So I kind of want to transition into a career opportunity or a career job that you had taken. And I found
right.
that it was very intriguing based off of, you know, all that you've been through. So I know
right.
that you were a vaudeville act there on
was,
Coney Island,
yes.
You walk on fire, and you laid on a bed of nails.
Nails
who
yes.
does that? Okay?
Who does that indeed? Who does that? But, crazy
but beyond that, you know, outside the fact of you doing that, I want you to also share with us, you know, that could be considered as a freak show or being, you know, put on being put on display. How did you counteract
yeah.
that?
Well, the thing is, I mean, you know, the thing is, I can't really hide, right? I mean, I am who I am. There's no hiding. So rather than try to cower from it, I blasted it 100 times over. I said, look, if you're going to stare at me, you're going to pay me for it. That's you know,
that's
the hustler. That's the hustler
no
in me, right? You know, that's straight up the hustler in me. So, you know, I figured that, you know, you can't beat them. You might as well use it, right? And, you know, with being in a freak show, it was a very unique and beautiful experience that I was able to kind of turn it on its head, right? Because they think that they're going to see a freak show, right? They're
right.
paying me so that they can point and laugh and have a good time. But what they don't realize or what they realize after is that it's actually not that I'm I'm actually having the opportunity to give them a little education and turn it on its head, which is exactly what I did, and it was both very cathartic and very, very cathartic. It was very useful for me to do that. So, yeah.
So I know that you wear many hats. Can you also share with our brains what you are doing as far as your academic career and your life goal profession?
Sure. Well, I always thought spending so much time in the hospital, by the time I was 17, I knew more than a third-year med student. So I always thought that I would go into medicine, that I would be a doctor. Of course, right, I don't have the required dexterity that it was required to be a surgeon the way I wanted to be. So I really like the critical thinking aspect of working in a lab, of problem-solving. So I did that. Actually, my degree is kind of a homage to two of my professors in high school. I had a brilliant chemistry teacher and a brilliant biology teacher, so I ended up getting my degree in biochemistry.
Wow.
And right now I'm pursuing a second bachelor's in clinical sciences so that I can run my own lab. I have currently an internship at SUNY Downstate researching chlamydia, and I work in food science at a dairy plant. So, yeah.
You're doing the most, okay? We're talking about the MOST brains. If you missed the top of the segment, please go back, rewind, and listen. This is a beautiful story of my friend, Anati Amos. She's talking to us about disabilities, but also about abilities to forge ahead. I want to ask you some personal questions, because we get
okay.
real here on the edge, and people want to know.
Right.
In relationships, now I know that you're gay.
Uh-huh.
And with that, do you find that being a woman,
uh-huh.
loving a woman, you would
uh-huh.
find a little bit more tenderness and compassion and understanding, a person that would look beyond your physical and look at your metaphysical being? You know, because, and I'd hate to be judgmental, but it is what it is. Men look at
right.
the outside package, okay? They don't even see if there's anything inside. They look at the outside package. But women tend to be more emotional. How do you feel about
yeah.
that?
Well, you know, what's funny is I tell this joke a lot. Like, you know, people look at me and they're like, well, of course she's gay. And it really irritates me because it's like, no. It's like they already assume certain things about it. And, you know, they think, oh, you must have been hurt by a man. And it's like, no, it has nothing to
right.
do with that. But, you know, surprisingly, I get hit on by enough guys. I mean, I have a nice butt, so some guys are butt guys. Some guys, you know, like, I have a nice badonkadonk, so sometimes that overweighs everything else, and apparently I have a presence, so maybe that overshadows. But, yeah, I mean, I've been gay. I was gay before it became cool. In high school, I came out, which was very dangerous. I even took a girl to my prom, my senior prom. Yeah, I wore a tux, so it was not as cool as it was to be gay then than it is, you know, more accepting now. So
right.
Yeah, I don't prescribe to that idea that, you know, a lot of men, you know, a lot of people, I think people are people, right? And, you know, they like what they like, and some, it's like going for ice cream. You got to try a bunch of flavors to see what's out there. So some people will try.
And you know what? When you try a bunch of flavors, sometimes you get a tummy ache.
If you're doing it wrong, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, tolerance versus acceptance. You know, I'm one of those
sure.
people. I try to keep it 100. And
right.
it's one thing to be acceptant. It's another thing to be tolerant. And a lot of times I am just as satisfied being tolerated as acceptant. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there with disabilities. There's a lot of people out there that are, you know, living in the shadows. And
right.
they don't know how to put themselves in the forefront. and not be embarrassed by their situation or by their looks or by their finances, whatever the situation may be that handicaps them. But how do you do that? How do you teach someone that it's okay to just be tolerated?
Well, that I disagree with you there. I think tolerance, I think being tolerated is insult in some ways, because it means that you are being forced to deal with, like, this person. And it's like if you look at art,
right? So you don't think,
right?
I'm sorry to interject, but you don't think that you're forcing me to accept something? I think that, you know, when you force something down, it could be anything. It could be, you know, pea soup. You know, and I have to like that. I think that that takes a lot out of a person. I think the forefront, if we start with at least tolerating, understanding the basic needs, being polite, I think that that goes a lot further than someone automatically expecting or having the expectation of being accepted for whatever their difference is, be it color, be it, race, gender, whatever. I think it's a lot. So I'm glad we can agree to disagree on that. But I'm sorry.
I think to be tolerated is like, the reason why I say it's an insult is because you're trying to pacify the situation that you're uncomfortable with, right? Rather than just try to acknowledge that uncomfortableness or like educate yourself, you're choosing to be like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to tolerate this person even though I don't know them, even though, like, I'm already judging them, you know, the first 10 seconds. You know, it's kind of degrading in a way. Like, I don't want to be tolerated, you know. But you don't have to accept me either. Like, that's not, I don't think acceptance goes hand-to-hand with tolerance. I think those things are two different entities together. So,
okay.
But that's just my opinion, you know.
No, your opinion is very valid. It's probably more valid than mine because you live the experience every day emotionally and physically. And I'm sure that it, you know, takes a toll on you. But the outside of the toll that is taken on you, share with our brains that, you know, on this life journey, what benefits has it afforded you? Because I know it has.
Well, you know, people don't believe me when I tell them this. The question I get asked is, if you could do it all over again, would you do it the same way? And, you know, without hesitation, yes. And the reason being is because for all the pain and suffering, I learned so much about myself that if I were born, quote, normal, I don't know that I would like the person that I would be. I see the kind of person that I could have been if I were born normal, and it kind of freaks me out. Like, I like to say that I've suffered the worst at people, but I've known the best of them too. So
wow.
To be furiously happy, you know, to fight through that happiness, that is a talent that has gotten me through a lot in life. So I think that having that background, having, you know, being kind of put together literally and physically has given me a very interesting, you know, way in being able to shuffle through life, you know.
And with that shuffling, you have taken out the time to stop and write with a pen and pad some beautiful poetry. If I may ask, can you share one of your poems with our brains so that they can hear you? This is how we all met, you guys. We used to do spoken word at a poetry joint here in San Diego called Claire de Lune's, and this is where I met Nati. And so I met her on the stage. And if you'd be nice enough to grace our stage, could you do a poem for me, please?
Sure. I wrote this poem in 2005. It's called Where is the Snow Den? It's in a collective. And here we go. Where are the snow dens of yesteryear? I remember the cotton candy wrapped in the stickiness of lost smiles and bigger men. I ate the leftovers of my mother's burnt chicken. She was never really a good cook, but she knew how to wear red heels and look at men as easy gods. I remember the stitches they gave. I remember the stitches she gave me to remember her by. She used fishing wire to hold her indulgence in my skin because there were no other hiding places left, and I had already been torn open anyway. They told her they could fix me. I wish she used a zipper. It would have made less of a distraction than my heavy blood. She complained it was too dark, and I always make a mess. The stitches would sometimes come unravel, and she would be reminded again, and she hated that. They promised they'd be able to put me back together. Some assembly required. You see, I had some parts here and not there. I didn't know I was detached, and they said I was, and well, she said I was, and it must have been true, right? I ate her indulgence, and it tasted like her burnt chicken. She was never really a good cook, but she knew how to wear red heels and look at men, turn men into sometimes gods. I would sometimes pick at the fishing wire. It reminded me of cotton candy, how the wounds just melted off out of my veins and into the bathroom floor. I would sing into the hum of the plastic bathroom lights. Where are the snow dunes of yesteryear, where I hear the falling bullets fly into the whiteness? I know he is listening. Where are the snow dunes of yesteryear?
I can listen to you forever. Awesome. Awesome job. Thank you so much. So can you share with our brains what's on the horizon for you? What do you see tomorrow when the sun comes up?
I will be coming home from work. Mainly, all I really want to do in life is teach and write a few papers and do research and live a ridiculously boring life with my partner. You know, have a dog, maybe have some fur babies. I don't know. Live the American dream. That's, of course, if we're not fleeing to Canada, if Trump wins.
Oh, you got a little political commentary on there, right? I'm feeling you. So how can our brains either get in contact with you if they want to find out more information, find out a little bit more about the unfortunate disease that you were born with? Anybody you want to plug? Give a shout out.
Or fortunate. You can contact me by email. My email address is, my name, natiamos@gmail.com. You know, everybody keeps telling me I should put a website up, and I do not have a website, but I do have a Facebook, and that's really easy. You'll know me if you see me. I have a TED Talk on YouTube, which I hope you'll link on your end there.
Absolutely, we've got several links on our our Facebook page for our brains to go in. I want them to view your videos, the one especially from the carnival and also the talk that you've done. You've just done some phenomenal stuff, really, really.
Thank you.
I hope,
Vice magazine is doing a piece on me as well. It should be out March, I think, probably late March, early April, I'm hoping. It should be good.
All right, everybody, be sure to pick up a copy of that, and you can find out more about Nati Amos on our place at Facebook, A Good Person Productions. I hope that all of our information was very valuable. We had a little bit of a audible brain intervention, and we went deep. I know it was successful. We all have scars, and we all possess the same amazing healing components, and that's called love, compassion, and acceptance/tolerance. I'll go with you on there. I encourage you, as I do every time we meet, to live your life in a compromising approach on all levels. Brains, thank you for continuing to hang on to the edge. Know that I'm here for you, and I want to hear from you on Twitter, because April's on the edge, at the World Wide Web, agoodperson.biz. So check out my new website. Tell me what you think. And I love it when you like me on Facebook. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Just as long as you touch me on one place. You don't have to touch me all over. There are 55 other great edgy conversations here on Blog Talk Radio. Come back. Always, Nati Amos. Share your story. Keep us informed. We love you deeply and completely, my sister.
Oh, thank you very much.
Peace, love, and abundant blessings, brains. Until we meet again, be well.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.